Well, hey guys, welcome to my daily teaching. In the lesson today, we're going to be talking about how to live a sanctified life, literally how to live a holy life, how to live a life free from sin. I don't know if that interests you, but it really interests me. So I'm going to jump into that in a moment. Hey, let me say that before we do, if you are new to my YouTube channel, why not hit the subscribe button down there? Give the bell symbol a long press. Give this video a thumbs up, drop me a comment, and share it with other folks on social media. And lastly, do check out some of the links below as well. We have a lot of great things going on. Events. I have an email newsletter I send out once a week, tomorrow, in fact. So I'd love to have you participate in that. Good. Well, hey, I've been talking for about a week in these daily teachings about living from a rock, living life from the rock, Christ Jesus. And I've been quoting every day the passage in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about two men, one who built his house on a rock, one who built his house on the sand. They both had nice houses. They both probably loved God. And then Jesus says one day a storm came and hit both houses. I want you to see this again. The same storm hit the same houses. And Jesus says, you know, the storm, the intensity of the storm was just the same on the house on the rock as it was on the house on the sand. The difference was the house built on the rocks withstood the storm and made it through. The house on the sand fell. And I am passionately interested in being a believer who ends well. I want to be on fire for God. I want to be on fire for God in this year of 2020 when I'm 50 years old. I want to be on fire for God when I'm 80 or 90 years old, though. I know storms are going to hit me. 2020 seems like the whole world got hit with a storm. And I think we're going to go through storms. Again, the issue is not, are you getting hit by a storm? You will at times. Your friends will. We all will. The issue is, upon what are you building the foundations of your life? And in yesterday's lesson, we talked a little bit about the foundation we have of righteousness. We said that when we come to Jesus, we literally get raptured. Colossians 1:13 says we get translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son that God loves. And when you became a believer, God gave you his righteousness. If you remember yesterday, put it out here, but I pulled out my British passport and I said, I am a British, focus camera, a British citizen. I did nothing to earn this. Maybe it's not something worthy to be earned. I don't know, but it's a legal standing. It doesn't matter whether I feel like it or not, whether I act British today or not. It's a place I have legally in the structure of the United Kingdom. And when you came to Jesus, God literally gave you a standing of righteousness, not based on what you did or what you didn't do. He gave you his righteousness, an alien righteousness, theologians call it. He gave you the righteousness of his son, Jesus. And it's so important that we get that and that we have an identity as the righteous ones. You know, people talk so much. We've heard a lot of teaching in the last 10 years or so about identity in Christ. And it's good that we discover that identity in Christ. We find out, okay, God says I'm righteous. But what we've got to learn to do, I believe, is to embed what God says into our thinking, into our consciousness, into our walk. We need to see ourselves as a righteous person. Now, what I want to do today is I want to take that thought a little further and talk about how do we apply that, because it's not enough. The danger in hearing any kind of grace teaching or teaching about righteousness is somebody will hear that and then go away thinking, yeah, but if we live like hell on earth, if we still do the things we did before, what's the point? Is it simply like a theoretical, theological righteousness in heaven? What happens when we sin? And I would put it to you this way, I believe it's what the Bible clearly says, is that God has declared us and made us righteous in our spirit. Okay, your spirit is as righteous as Jesus is righteous. Think about this right now. In Adam, we died. Adam didn't die physically when he sinned. Adam didn't die soulishly. He still had a mind, a will, and emotions. But Adam died in his spirit. The part of him that could connect with God died. The Bible says in Christ, we are made alive. The spirit is alive because of righteousness. Romans 8 verse 10. So our spirit has been made alive. When we say we are a new creation, It means it's talking about our spirit is a new creation. My soul isn't necessarily a new creation, and I know my body isn't. You know, as you read through your Bible, you'll find verses like in 1 John where it says three times, he that is born of God does not sin. What most of us do, especially as younger Christians, is we read a verse like that and we think, well, if he that is born of God does not sin, am I born of God because I still sin? And it was such a revelation to me to realize that what John is actually saying there is the new creation does not sin. The one that is born of God does not sin. James says, in fact, he cannot sin because his seed remains in him. And that new creation, that part of you that's alive in heaven right now, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So you are a new person. You're seated in heavenly places. You are alive. You're sin free, if you will, in heaven, signed, sealed, and delivered in Jesus. But that's not the whole of the story. You still have a soul and a body living here on the earth. And what does sanctification mean? Righteousness is a standing. Sanctification, I don't believe it's a process, but us learning to walk it out is a process. You know, I said earlier that Leah and I have been, we've actually been in the United States about 8 years now, but we've had a green card for nearly four and three quarter years. 4 years, 9 months next month. And when you've been here for 5 years, you're then allowed to apply for American citizenship. You can trade in, you fill out forms and pay a fortune and, you know, turn your green card into a full standing as a US citizen. And then I'd have a nice blue passport to go to my, with my passport collection. Here's the point though. If today I went through a citizenship ceremony and I swore, I don't even know what they do, allegiance to the flag and the pledge of allegiance and all these kind of things, and I would be an American citizen. In the eyes of the American government, I would be a citizen as much as Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden would be, excuse the example, as much as most of you watching here would be. It's a standing. You're not half American, slightly American, mainly American. You either are or you aren't. And if I'm legally an American citizen, I'm an American citizen. Okay, number one. But then what I have to do as a Brit living in the new world is learn to live in that world, learn to navigate that world, learn to think in that world, learn to, I need to get up every morning and say, great, I'm now an American, drive on the right, drink coffee, drink terrible tea. Kidding. You know, learn, try to understand the Super Bowl. I mean, learn to live life in this new kingdom. Put off some of the old ways and learn on the new. And my standing as an American or not an American has nothing to do with what I do or what I don't do. But what I do and what I don't do does have to do with my standing. And we've been made citizens of heaven. And sanctification is really the process by which we learn to live, to walk out, to put away the old and put on the new and be transformed. Now, is that a process? In one way, my adoption of it, my living that out is a process, but it's not time that sanctifies me. It's the cross that sanctifies me. Let me say that again. It's really important that we don't change. I've got a clock on the wall there. You guys probably can't see it. We don't exchange the cross for the clock. It's not time that sanctifies me. And again, I want you to hear me carefully. Sometimes people will say, yes, God will send trials and tribulations to sanctify you. No, God sends the cross, Christ to the cross to sanctify you. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ is made unto us sanctification. It's an event. It's a historical event, not a process. Well, do trials sanctify us? Well, yes and no. What happens when we go through trials is we think more about God. We call on God. We figure out what we really believe. It focuses us. James, in James chapter 1, said, my brethren, count it joy when you go into trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. So when you're under pressure, it's like you recalibrate your line, but it's not the trial that's sanctifying you. What actually sanctifies us is the word of God. Okay, let me give you some scriptures. John 17, verse 17. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Ephesians 5, talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then he said, Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her that he might sanctify her by the washing of water through the word of God. The church is going to be sanctified by the washing of water through the word of God. Again, catch the concept. We've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, but we're sanctified by the word of God. 2 Corinthians, I can never quote this one, but I love it. I once heard Colin Urquhart preach on this. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Listen to this. It says, therefore, having promises, let us cleanse ourselves, sanctify ourselves, same word, separate ourselves. Let us sanctify ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So Paul writes and he says, having these promises, let us sanctify ourselves. Paul says, we're washed with the water of the word and sanctified. Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Peter, I can quote all of the apostles talking about this. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, he says, what does he say? He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, the word of God. And he says, by these you become partakers of God's divine nature. And by the great and precious promises, you escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. So I want you to see that we're made righteous by the blood, but we're sanctified by the exceeding great and precious promises of God. Hey, let me give you in closing five real quick keys that will help you walk that a sanctified life. Number one, you've got to understand repentance. So I have been made righteous, but when there's sin in my life, God doesn't want me to simply go, oh, well, I'm righteous. That doesn't matter. God wants me to come to him, especially when he puts his finger on it, and be willing to call it out and say, Lord, this thing I did is not in alignment with who I am. And I repent. I turn from it. My bad. Sorry, Lord. Lord, I call on you. And the Bible says if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. Now, it's not our job to go on a witch hunt looking for sins in our life, or especially not in the lives of others. Rather, it's our job to say, search my heart, Lord, and know me. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the path everlasting. So number one, repentance. Number two, identification. Well, we should see ourselves as a righteous, sanctified one. Now, I'm working out that righteousness, but I've got to step into that identification. Again, I can't come to America and say, when I know every American habit and lifestyle and cultural thing, then I'll be American. I need to come here and say, I've been declared American, and now I'm in the process of learning to do these. So we need, number two, to have that identity as a righteous one. Number three, we need to renew our mind. Paul didn't say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. He said, you'll be transformed. He said, don't be squashed. You're the righteous ones, but you're living here in the world. So don't let the world squash and form you. Don't be conformed. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our challenge, again, is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yesterday, I quoted a verse in Ephesians 4:23. It says, put on the new man who's been created after God in righteousness and true sanctification by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we sanctify ourselves by renewing our mind, by thinking like God thinks, by looking at the temptations of the world and thinking, well, I used to think that was good, but that's not who I am anymore. I'm a new person. Good. Hey, number four, we don't overcome sin by simply trying to resist sin in our willpower. Our will, you can do that, but you'll always end up playing whack-a-mole with temptation when you do that. And what we should actually do is replace bad habits with good habits. We should replace temptation with the light and the joy that's in the face of Jesus. Rather than looking at some habit that it will pull you in if you keep looking at it, look at Jesus, turn to worship. You know, one of the greatest keys I know in sanctification or overcoming sin is literally worship. Do you know, it's funny, I never feel like sinning when I worship because my eyes are on Jesus. And when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. And lastly, again, I know it's a quick overview here. I would say learn the habits of the kingdom. You know, I think sanctification is not a spiritual reality. It's rather bringing a spirituality to bear in our soul. The Bible says it's the soul that sins. The soul that sins, it will surely die. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? The Bible says, glorify God in your spirit and body, which are the Lord's. Your soul is yours. Yeah, and we have control over our soul. Satan can't possess your soul, but he tries to influence it through the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our job is to live in such a way where we, you know what Satan tries to do is to get us developing habits that just keep us in patterns of sin without us really thinking about it. He tries to get you doing things on autopilot so that you're sinning on autopilot. And I believe what we need to do is, sanctification is when we practice righteousness. Hallelujah. We practice righteousness. We practice doing the right thing, and we make that a habit, make spending time with God a habit. I have habits I go through every day. At times, you could even say, well, that's boring. And I agree at times, but I'm going to practice godliness and then teach others to do that. Boom. So I hope that helps you guys. Just some thoughts on sanctification. Hey, again, let me mention that if you're on my YouTube channel, give this video a thumbs up, share it, social media, Facebook, Twitter, all of those things, and check out some of the links below. I'd love to hear from you with your thoughts on these matters. Bless you guys. I'm cheering you on this Friday. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now.